Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome again to Blue Shirt Banter Radio. As always, I am your host, Jim Schmiedeberg, and I am joined by my co-host, Joe Fortunato. Joe, are you there?
I'm here, Jim.
Good evening. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. How are you?
Good. Always a pleasure. It's another beautiful Wednesday evening, and we're ready to talk a little bit about the Rangers. And as we've been telling you guys all week, at about 8 o'clock, we are going to be joined by a couple of guests. We're going to be joined by Russ Cohen and Adam Rader. They are the authors of a new book that's coming out, 100 Ranger Greats. And we'll talk to them a little bit about the book, and we'll also take your phone calls and talk a little bit about what's going on with the Rangers these days. What we want to do is we'll take some calls before they come on. If you guys want to talk about some of the moves the Rangers have made this week, the Kotelik signing, the trade of Lauri Korpikowski, Ryan Callahan being signed, Corey Potter, whatever you guys want to talk about. And then when Russ and Adam join us, and we want to take some phone calls, if you guys want to ask them some questions about players that have played for the Rangers over the years, be it Mark Messier or Brian Leetch or Phil Esposito, John Davidson, whoever you guys want to talk about. And Joe, tonight I'm hoping that we'll get some of the Ranger fans that have called in that have a little bit longer tenure than some of our usual guys. Guys like Stan from Bayside, who's a 40-year Ranger fan, or Mike from Howard Beach, who's well over 30 years in his Ranger fandom. Some of those guys, I'm hoping tonight we'll come through with some calls. So anyway, we've got a bunch of different things happen this week for the Rangers. As we talked about last week with Stan from Bayside, we talked a little bit about Alex Kotelik. And as it turned out, the Rangers offered him a contract the other day, and he has signed to come back. What are your thoughts on Kotelik signing?
Well, I think I made myself pretty clear that I was a big fan of Kotelik being signed. You know, a lot of people were upset about it, and a lot of the comments on the website, as you probably noticed, were very negative. But I put up a poll to see what people thought, and I'm looking at the poll right now. 70% of our viewers said that they liked the signing altogether. About 25% said they thought it was too expensive, and then 4% said that they didn't like the player and blah, 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 blah. I think that Kotelik is a great signing. I think that he's going to mesh well with Drury, which is really important for, you know, Drury's not going anywhere for the next 3 years. Like, you know, I hate to say it, he has a full no-movement clause, so whatever the Rangers can do to get him going would be in their favor. And Kotelik is a guy who will give you 20-plus goals a season as a lock. He'll hit a little. He'll boost the power play. And he'll make Chris Drury play a little bit better. And for 3 years, $3 million per, that is market value for a 20-goal scorer who puts up 40 to 60 points, 60 at the best, 40 at the worst. So, you know, I'm a fan.
Joe, in that poll that you just read the results from, what percentage said, I don't like anything the Rangers do?
Probably 90% of it would have said, I don't like anything the Rangers do.
No, I don't know if it was 90%, but sometimes it seems like it's at least 50%, but that's a show for another night. How about, before we get into some of the other stuff, how about we take a phone call? We've got somebody that's been waiting pretty much as soon as we went on the air. How's that?
Go ahead, get them on.
203 area code, welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. You are on the air. Who's this? Hello?
Hello?
203 area code, you with us? No, going once, going twice.
Gone. Been, that's in Connecticut. That's Connecticut.
That must have been an Islander fan called in by mistake or something. So that's all right. Moving on, we have the Kotelik signing, and then
what about the Callahan signing.
We talk about the Callahan signing first, and then we'll talk about what transpired right after the Callahan signing. Excuse me, and. I want to let everybody know that if you listened to last week's show, we had a conversation. I don't remember who we had on the line, but we were discussing Callahan, and Joe made the prediction that Callahan would get about a $2.5 million contract, and that if he was willing to accept it, the Rangers should sign him for a couple of years. Well, I think Callahan got a 2-year contract, and the first year is $2.25 million. Is that correct, Joe?
No, it's 2.2, and then 2.4. The first 2. Year 2. Is 2.2, 2.
And 2.4.
The second year is 2.4. It comes out to 2.3.
So once again, Joe proves to be to have a little ESP going on when it comes to the Rangers. All right, our 203 Connecticut mystery caller is back. Let's try and get him on the line again. 203 area code. You are on Blue Shirt Banter Radio. Who's this?
Hello.
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 Hi. Who's this?
Hi. It's Larry from Stratford, Connecticut.
Hi, Larry. How you doing? Welcome to Blue
Good.
Shirt Banter Radio. You're on with Jim and Joe. What's going on tonight?
Glad to be on. I like some of the Rangers moves they made so far. I love the Higgins trade for Gomez. I also like the, what's his name, Gaborik, the right wing.
Barry Gaborik, yep.
Yeah, that's Gaborik.
I like that signing. I also like the signing of Kotelik. But the thing that concerns me is we don't have a first string center on the first line. And the defense, what are we doing with defense?
Really
hurting.
I think for just something that I wanted to throw out there from the beginning is that, you know, last year, what did everyone complain about? We don't have enough goal scorers. We need more goal scorers. We have too much passing.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do this year? We answer that question. We take away Gomez, and all of a sudden, we don't have enough passers. We have too much goal scoring. We have too many shooters. I mean, at the end of the day, the New York Rangers signed the one sniper in the league that, aside from Kovalchuk and Ovechkin, that does not need to be set up by a quality playmaker to score goals. 90% of the goals Gaborik scores, he does them himself, and he can dish. He's had 41 assists before. He can do it when he's healthy. As for the defense, I think that, you know, Jim kind of touched on this earlier today. Last year, we had one of the best defensive teams in the league. We gave up very few goals, and a lot of that has to do with Henrik Lundqvist. But
yeah,
this
exactly.
year, you're going to see a retooled defense that, you know, Derek Morris was useless, so him not coming back doesn't matter. Redden and Roosevelt, I think Roosevelt's play last year had a little bit more to do with his hip than anything else. Redden, if I get anything positive out of him, I'll be happy. And Matt Gilroy is supposed to be really good. And, you know, the Rangers have such a high-octane group of defensemen that whoever they do pick to come up and play on the team will probably be pretty solid. And I liked what I saw from Potter and Sawyer last year. So I think that the defense isn't going to be hurt either way. I just wish Redden wasn't there.
Have they given any thought to buying out Roosevelt? Because I think he's useless. I thought Derek Morris is much better than Roosevelt.
Everybody likes to throw around rumors that Roosevelt's on the trade block, and I'm sure Roosevelt is on the trade block, if for nothing else, because his contract is much more movable at $5 million for the next 3 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Than Redens is, but I doubt very highly that Roosevelt goes anywhere unless the Rangers are getting an experienced D-man back in return, because I don't know if you can count on four kids to make the team and be successful.
Well, a couple of weeks they were offering Roosevelt and Zhirdev to Ottawa for Healy, so he has been offered, Roosevelt.
Yeah, he's been on the block, but more because, you know, we need to lose money, and his contract is a lot more movable than Wade Redden's is.
And what about Zhirdev? Is he gone?
Well, I mean, like we talked about, we'll probably talk about it again today. Zhirdev is on arbitration, and depending on what they come up with, if arbitration judge rules that he should make more than $3.25 million a year, I guarantee you the Rangers walk away from the contract. If arbitration judge rules less than that amount, he'll be back in Ranger blue.
Do they really have room for him, though, at right wing? I mean, they're packed at right wing right now.
Speculation is he's done. I mean, you can probably put it in the books that he's not coming back.
They could always trade him, too.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that the Rangers don't still have a trade in them. The roster as it is now is a little, I think they're a little incomplete. A little overabundant at wing at this point. I still think they have a move in them, but who knows? I think they'd be comfortable going into the season with Dubinsky and Drury as their top two centers, but if they could make a deal that works, I think they could do that too. The other thing about Roosevelt, let's not forget that he was coming off hip surgery last year and probably wasn't 100% healthy for a good portion of the year. I'm a lot more willing to give Roosevelt another chance this season than Redding. I think Roosevelt is going to bounce back a little bit this year and be a little more the player he was a couple of years ago, but that remains to be seen.
And you also have to remember with Zhirdev is that, you know, how much trade value does he have when whatever
23
team
goals.
Yeah, well, I agree, but whatever team trades for him and gets him literally has, I think, 10 to 15 days, however long before arbitration is, to sign him.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he goes to arbitration, and if an arbitration judge rules that he should make more money than the team wants and they walk away from it, he's an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah.
So he may not see many offers, mainly because why trade for a guy that very well may be on the open market anyway in 2 weeks?
Yeah,
why give up something for him?
They're a little short on left wing right now too, except for Avery and Higgins, right?
They're a little short on what? Left wing? Well,
left
I think
wing,
Gabrick.
Yeah.
I think Gabrick can play both sides, but
he's a right winger. He's a natural right winger.
But I mean,
now his name has completely left my mind. The kid they got for Korpikowski. Left wing?
Oh, Inver. He's a right wing too. It said.
Is he a right wing? Okay.
He's a right wing, left wing. Some guys play Higgs rings. They could do either or. They could play on the right wing or the left wing. I mean, once you get down to the third line, it almost doesn't even matter.
Actually, Callahan's played some left wing, too.
He has played some left wing, but
yeah.
I kind of feel like he'll be paired with Drury and Kotelik, but I'm not sure. I mean, it depends.
Well, Kotelik's a right wing.
Yeah, so Callahan would play on the left wing, then.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, there you go. That's good. Okay.
So, all right, Larry. Well, I thank you for calling. We're going to move on to some other topics.
Will you guys be on every week?
Yes, every Wednesday night at 7:30, and you can and feel free to call us back.
It's the first time I've found you. This is great.
Oh, okay. Well, great. We're glad
you
enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you.
And stay tuned. We're going to have, like I said before, we're going to have a couple of guests in a little while. They wrote a book called 100 Ranger Greats. And if you have a question for those guys and you want to call back in, by all means, we'll see if we can get in with them.
Terrific. Keep the good work, guys.
Thanks. Have a good night.
Take care.
All right. See, now that's what I was hoping for, a few more experienced Ranger fans tonight. So good. We have a new listener, and he's enjoying the show, and that's we're glad to hear that. I just want to for those of you, I know we've had, another week where we've had a lot of new members, so I just want to take a minute really quick to welcome those new members to blueshirtbanter.com, and just let you guys know that the site, it's probably the most, I think it's the most interactive of just about any site that's out there for the Rangers, and that goes as well for the other hockey blogs on SB Nation. It's the only site that I know of where readers can come on and they can comment on stories and have an actual conversation with the people that run the site. Joe and myself and Ryan McFadden and Rob Luker, we all maintain a pretty good presence on the site. We're all there, off and on all day long. So it's not just you guys having a conversation like you're on a message board somewhere. You know, you're actually interacting with us, and we do this show every Wednesday night where you guys can call up and talk to us. And we appreciate having you guys. You can also do your own little fan posts on the website, and if you guys have thoughts you want to share, you can put them in there. And then sometimes we move the fan post to the main board, and the other readers can come on and comment about them. Fan shots you can also use. Those are if you want to put up videos, Ranger videos, or if you have Ranger pictures you want to share, you can put them up there, and everybody can take a look at them and comment on them.
Yeah,
so Blue Shirt Banter is in my opinion, it's the most interactive Rangers site there is. You know, all the beat writers have their blogs, and occasionally they'll drop in and comment on other people's comments. But, you know, that's few and far between, whereas we try and maintain a presence all day with you guys, every day, if possible. And you guys are a big part of our site, and we love having you. We love talking to you. And the great thing, Joe, is that even as our site continues to grow and we get so many more new members, we've got a great bunch of members. Everybody that's been coming on our site and commenting on a regular basis, they're all really great. I mean, we've picked up some great new members like M. Leach and BMV4VO1, or I can't remember his screen name, and Poe, who we want to give a shout out to. He's stationed over in Iraq now. He's deployed over there, and he checks in on the site every day. So, you know, shout out to him over there, and thanks for all your hard work and keeping us safe. We've got a great bunch of members, and we really appreciate it. And Joe, if you got something you want to say, and then we got a couple more phone calls coming through again already, and then we got to get to our guests.
I just wanted to remind everyone that what we'll do is everything that Jim just said, if you didn't catch it all, and it's a lot, every 2 weeks about coming towards the season, we have a post that we put up called Getting to Know Blue Shirt Banter, and it will explain everything for you. So don't worry if you missed out on it. It will be there.
Yeah, I know. I understand I was talking kind of fast, but I'm just trying to get everything in. Also, one more thing we just want to let everybody know. At the bottom of the main page of Blue Shirt Banter, you'll see all our names, and you'll see next to our names, there's an envelope. You can email any one of us if you have questions about the site, if you have comments, if you have complaints, compliments, if you have an idea for the site, something maybe you want us to do, by all means, shoot us an email. We answer all email that we get, and we'll be glad to talk to you guys. And the mouth is in the chat room telling people that Shecky Green is going to play me in the movie. I don't even know what that means. But you know what? We're going to get it straight from the mouth's mouth, because let me get him on the air here as soon as my mouse will work. There he is. Ladies and gentlemen, the often imitated, never duplicated mouth. Good evening, sir. Are you there?
Mouth,
hey buddy, it's the Mouth live.
There he is. Good evening, sir.
Good evening to you, young gentleman. And you know what? I think being better than a great American is being a great Ranger fan, and I think we're all one of those right now.
So, of course.
Now, let me just go on about the Shecky Green thing. I noticed that you booked the same guest I did, so I figured it's like a Leno Letterman war going on here. And you know how they did that cheesy HBO movie? Well, about Leno and Letterman, I don't know if you remember. You might be too young for that. But anyway.
Oh, I remember the movie.
Right. I figure Buddy Hackett, the late Buddy Hackett, will play me, and Shecky Green will play you.
Shecky, why wouldn't Brad Pitt play me? I don't understand that.
I don't know. Joe tells these stories out of school. I don't know. He's the one who suggested Shecky Green. Let me make, first of all, I want to second that Blue Shirt Banter thing. You guys run a fabulous site.
every Ranger fan should go there, and it is the most interactive site on the net. Now, let me
Thank you, sir.
No problemo. Now, let me tell you what I think about Ranger fans right now. Ranger fans, why are we so afraid of change out there? Everybody, oh, it was like Joe was saying, we couldn't score, we get rid of a passer, and everybody's like, oh, we have no guys who can set people up, we got to get a center. Calm down. Everything is good in Rangerland. I think they've really made some good moves here. I really can't believe it, actually. I'm a little bit stunned that they actually made some good moves. And I think the team is taking a Tortorella shape. You guys tell me what you think about that.
Absolutely. The Rangers have turned over the roster. I believe the number I think there are going 12 or 13 players from last year's roster so far will not be back. I think this team is being remade in John Tortorella's image. And one of the beat writers might have been Steve Zippe today said even a little bit Jim Schoenfeld has a big hand in the way this team is being remade. They're going to be faster. They're going to be hardworking, hard nosed, and they're not going to win every night, obviously. But I think they're going to be a lot more fun to watch than last year's team. I think the days of okay, we're going to let you have four or five shots on goal, then we're going to dump the puck and hope to get a shot on goal, and then you guys are going to come back down ice and get another four or five shots on goal. I think those days are over. I think they're going to be a much more exciting team to watch, and I'm looking forward to it. We've got less than, as I put it today, less than 9 weeks to training camp. That sounds better than 2 months to me.
Yeah, that's exciting. And I just want to say that I like this Enver Leeson. This guy is a talent. If he can learn to play some defense in this league, this guy's got some sick moves.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. He's another guy I'm looking forward to seeing. I think in terms of offensive upside, I think the Rangers came out on top of that trade, as they do with most trades with Phoenix, our farm team, our AAA farm team out in the desert. But in terms of Korpikowski's probably the better two-way player, a little better defensively,
yeah.
No doubt about it. But in terms of an offensive upside, I think the Rangers got the better of the deal, but remains to be seen.
All right, now two concerns I have. I'm sorry to cut you off. You want to go ahead?
No, that's okay. No, go right ahead.
Okay, I have two concerns. I think Ranger fans are very kind of enthralled with this Brian Boyle. I'm really concerned about this guy. I don't think he's going to be able to fit in right away. I see him maybe starting in Hartford. Everybody's penciling him in as the fourth-line center. I just can't see it right away. The guy just doesn't have much experience. And also, I want to comment just on the Roosevelt. Give the guy a break. The last 3 years, he's played with Malik and Redden. I mean, anybody would have off years playing with those guys. I mean, the only thing that Roosevelt really, you know, he'll put a bug in you is about his – he won't shoot on a power play. He's too unselfish. But other than that, Rosie's fine in my book.
Like I just said to Larry, I think coming back after the hip surgery, I think he'll be a little stronger this year, and you know, hopefully we'll see better out of him. I don't think the Rangers are going to trade him at this point. I just don't think they're going to be able to move his salary now. So I think he'll be back, and I think he'll be better. And you know, that's all we can hope for. Mouth, listen, we're going to have to move along. I got a
no
couple
problem.
Of calls.
Take care, Jimmy.
You'll be on tomorrow night on RangerCrisis.com, and I'll be checking in with you. I'll call in like I did last week. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, as always.
Take care, Alex. Bye-bye, Joe.
All right. There is the mouth, the one and only. We got about 5 minutes before our guests are supposed to join us. We have Adam and Russ coming on they wrote the book 100 Ranger Greats. So we're going to have them in a couple minutes. We got two calls on hold. Let me just
see. You probably get one in the 6 minutes.
Let's see. All right. Let's go to 732 area code. You're on Blue Shirt Banter Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Joe. This is Stroker Ace, actually.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Joe, what's going on, Joe? Hey, I just one comment, man. I think You know, I agree with everything we say about Rosie. I think Rosie, anybody that played with Red in the league, bound to fail. But I think the Rangers would be a nice little addition would be Colby Armstrong. What do you think, dude? I think he, if he came at a nice little price, Colby Armstrong would be nice.
I think that that is the problem with Colby Armstrong, is that he probably won't come too cheap. I mean,
yeah.
He's a good goal scorer, and, you know, I think that at this point what the Rangers are looking for is they kind of have their roster set, and another free agent is another 3 or 4 years at the cap.
Right.
And,
this,
you know,
I should have stated to you earlier, I'm sorry to cut you off, that's depending on what happens with Doobie, because, you know, it's a little concerning right now that he's not signed. But if we were not signed Doobie, or if he was involved in any kind of trade at all, cause, you know, that would be brutal. I mean, Colby Armstrong could play left wing or center, so I think that'd be all right. He's got some size and speed.
I think a lot of it has to do with the cap. I mean, I honestly don't know who's on Glenn Saver's radar at this point. It
right.
kind of looked like he may be sitting pat. I mean, there's a couple of rumors out there that he may be interested in bringing back Sergei Zubov, and then
I don't want that at all. I agree with you. Yeah, I think that's too much age, and Zuby's coming off an injury too. So you don't know what are we gonna get 4 games out of him for what price, you know?
Yeah, so I mean we'll see what happens, but I'm pretty sure.
I mean that's my opinion. What do you think? Would you rather? I'd rather go young personally. I'd rather go young than bring Zubov in.
I would too. So
yeah. I kind of made this point either last week or the week before about Zubov.
Right.
If the Rangers could get him at a decent price, a real decent price, I wouldn't have a problem bringing him in for a year as kind of a caretaker to that power play, to the point. He can
right.
definitely help there. And I kind of compared him to the football analogy. I kind of compared him to when the Giants signed Kurt Warner to kind of hold the job until Eli Manning was ready.
I could absolutely see that. That's a great analogy. That's pretty much – the only problem with that is that Warner didn't get a chance to finish out his contract.
Well, yeah, well, that was the bad part. But but I could see them – I could see doing that until, you know, you're sure that Delzato or Sanguinetti is ready to take over the point on the power play, because that's a big responsibility.
Right.
Zubov might be a guy that can come in for a year and fit right in and do the job.
And
but,
hopefully,
you know, it all depends on the cost.
Hopefully, shooting would be contagious. You know what I mean? Hopefully, his shooting from the point would be contagious to some of the younger guys. And they, you know, if you can get a puck through, you know, you don't have to score on the initial shot. It's the shot, the rebound, the score is what you want. I mean, you know what I mean? That's what they need to learn. You don't have to shoot
right.
the score. You know, you can shoot to hit the pads, and that's what your forwards are for. You don't have to always shoot the score. Just get it on net. Make him make a save. That's what the old guys are good at. You know, they don't necessarily have to score. You don't have to pick a corner. Just hit a pad, hit a post, hit something. Hit somebody in front. Just be a little savvy, you know?
I hear you. All right, we're gonna move on. We're going to take one more call before our guests are supposed to be here. So I thank you for calling. I hope you'll stick with us and keep listening.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. All right. Looks like we have we got one of our callers, one of our guests is on the line, and I'm just waiting for the other one to call in. We're gonna 718 area code. I'm gonna have to ask you to hang in there for a little while with us, and we'll get you on as soon as we start taking some calls with Adam and Russ. Again, you're listening to Blue Shirt Banter Radio. This with Jim and Joe. Our call-in number is 646-478-4692. And we have coming up, we're going to have Adam Rader and Russ Cohen. They are the authors of 100 Ranger Greats, which will be in stores in September. I believe you can pre-order it now on their website, which is rangergreats.com. And we're just waiting for, I think we are waiting for Russ to call in. So just bear with us, 718 area code. We'll get you on in a few minutes. And actually, let's get Adam on the air. So right now, joining us on Blue Shirt Banter Radio, we have Adam Rader. Adam has covered the NHL for a couple of different publications, the Hockey News, Hockey Digest, and Street and Smith's Sports Business Journal. And again, he is one of the authors of 100 Ranger Greats. And Adam, I'd like to welcome you to Blue Shirt Banter Radio. You're on with Jim and Joe. How are you this evening?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me, guys.
Our pleasure.
You're very welcome. Thank you for being here.
We appreciate you coming on. And in the interest of full disclosure, you and Russ are our first guests. So bear with us. We've only been doing this about a month now, and you guys are our
first
guests.
Is this first guest ever or first guest of the evening?
Ever.
First guest we've had on the show besides just our readers calling in.
That's a lot of pressure, Jim.
No pressure whatsoever.
Okay.
If anything, the pressure's on us to not look like fools.
Well, it's good that you got me on early. It means I'll get in a few seconds of talking before Russ comes on, because once he gets on, that's it.
All right, well, go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you what. How about actually, when you told me, when you sent me a message this morning and said that John Halligan, who was previously the public relations director for the Rangers and also worked on this book with you guys, when you told me that he wouldn't be coming on, you said that it would just be you and Russ, and that you hoped that Russ would give you some time to talk. So I purposely structured this interview so that you got the first question.
So while we
wait for Russ, how about let me go ahead and ask you, what was the inspiration for this book? How did you guys come up with the idea?
Well, we're probably going back about 4 years. And I had written a book, it's still unpublished, a book about the Dallas Stars / Minnesota North Stars. It was a complete history of the team. And it was going to come out, and then we had the lockout. And the publisher that we had at that point, this was a book I wrote on my own, the publisher that I had at that point didn't think they could sell the book in a non-traditional hockey market in the wake of a lockout, so they killed it. So I was pretty annoyed, I was pretty ticked, and I thought, well, you know, I can do one of two things. I can sit back and lick my wounds and never write again, or I can write about hockey again, which is the sport that I love. And I can write about the Rangers, which is the team I grew up rooting for and grew up loving. So whatever, I'll write a book about the Rangers, and why not a book about the top 100 players? So I called Russ because I knew I couldn't do it alone. I called him up, and the conversation really was this simple. I said, hey, let's write a book on the Rangers. And he said, okay. And and that's how we got started. It occurred to me, though, and I had met John Halligan years earlier, when I was covering the NHL and he was still working at the National Hockey League. I met John, and a great guy. It seemed like the idea that we had was very similar to something that he was once kicking around. And I didn't feel right moving forward on it without talking to him first. So I got in touch with him and said, John, you know, we want to do this book, but I wouldn't move forward on it without your blessing. And he said, you not only have my blessing, but if you'd like me to contribute some material, I'd be happy to. And that was it. I mean, as soon as I knew that John was going to be involved, I knew that this project was going to really take on a dimension that it wouldn't have had before, just because of the connection that he had with the Rangers for so many years. There is nobody on this earth who knows more about the New York Rangers than John. And you won't find a classier guy in working in the sport. So having him aboard really gave us a real lift, and that's how we got started.
Wow, that is pretty amazing. So you guys started basically the original concept for the book started about 4 years ago, coming out of the lockout.
Yeah, it was around that time, probably in the early fall of when did the lockout end? 2005. It's probably around
yes.
that time. Yeah, it was probably okay. fall of 2005, and at that point, I mean, when you've got three people working on a book like this, you've got to delegate, you know, different assignments, and everyone's got to have their own role. And John said from the very beginning, "I'll write about all the dead guys." So it actually didn't work out that he did write about a few guys who were living, and I wrote about some guys who were dead, and we all kind of, you know, did a little bit, but that's how we got started, and it was a tremendous experience and a lot of fun, and as Russ will probably agree when he comes on, there were not as many disagreements or as many heated debates as you would expect from having three different people of different ages work on a book like this.
That's excellent. Let me ask you a question. The number that you had sent me for Russ is a 609 area code, and I don't see it's not up on our switchboard yet, but we do have an 856 caller, and I think that's – is there any chance he's calling in from a different number than originally thought?
Very, very possible. Why don't you give it a shot? If not, we'll have a chat with a complete stranger.
Okay, we'll try it. 856 area code, you're on the air, Blue Shirt Banter Radio. Who's this?
Yeah, it's Russ, and it's just because my cell wasn't working that well.
Oh, so I made the right guess. Russ, welcome to Blue Shirt Banter Radio. I'm Jim, and we have Joe on the line, and I think you know Adam.
Yep.
You're off to a great start, Russ.
Well, you know, I wanted it to sound good, and, you know, this is a way to ensure that.
That is a good point. He makes a good point.
Russ, welcome to the show. We really appreciate you you sitting in with us for a few minutes.
Sure.
And for those of you that don't know, like I said before, Russ hosts a hockey show on XM Satellite Radio, and he writes for some NHL publications and is the founder of the Sportsology Network. Russ, Adam was just telling us how the book, basically where the idea came from and how you guys came together to work on it. Now I want to get a little bit about what's in the book, and I think everybody knows some of the more popular names the Rangers have had over the years: Messier, Graves, Richter, and Jokinen, and Gilbert, and Jean Rattel. Without giving too much away, maybe there's a couple of names that are in the book that some Ranger fans, maybe some of the lesser known names, or maybe we've forgotten about. Maybe you could just give us a little brief synopsis on how and why they made the list.
Well, I can tell you that, like Adam said, we had a lot of conference calls, and we formulated an original list, which, Adam, I don't know, what was there, about maybe 130 or 40 names?
Yeah, probably about that many.
And then we had to dwindle it down, and Adam came out with a mathematical formula at one point to help do that, and we, you know, basically after that, then you have to still look at you have to basically look at the contribution to the team. You have to look at the eras because, you know, if you look at Bill Cook's numbers and you plug in, you know, 20 goals, it doesn't seem like all that much nowadays, but back then it was everything. That was, you know, the league lead. So you have to take those things into account, and that's where, you know, there was a little tweaking that was involved and a lot of discussions. And, you know, you come up with a list. But honestly, this list, I would say, was never finalized for about 9 to 10 months. And that's simply because every 3 or 4 days, there was an email or a phone call, another conference call. What about this guy? Are we sure about this guy?
Mm.
And it went on a lot.
There were a handful. Just to jump in for a second, there were
sure.
Russ mentioned a mathematical formula, and people listening will wonder, well, how in the world did we come up with a formula to do this? I won't give away too much about it. I will only say that what it involved was looking at a lot of different things. That it included statistics, but we looked at a host of different factors, like was a player in a Hall of Fame? Had the player's number ever been retired? Had he ever served as captain? Did he ever represent the Rangers in an All-Star game? How long did he play for the Rangers? Did he ever win any league awards? These were all things that we looked at, and that gave us kind of a framework. And then, as Russ said, players were moved up and down, you know, according to era. I mean, numbers don't always match up. A 20-goal scorer in the 1930s, well, what does that mean? But way back when, those were prolific numbers, and you have to give a player from the old days the benefit of the doubt. And the formula was just really the beginning.
So you mentioned Bill Cook. If my memory serves, his brother played with the Rangers. Bun Cook?
Mm-hmm.
Did Bun make the list?
Yep.
He did. Okay. So the Cook brothers are well represented. I assume the Patricks are all on there.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other, maybe some of the, like I said, the lesser known names that you might want to mention?
I mean, if you go back to the 40s and the 50s, there are quite a few. I mean, guys like, these are names that a lot of Ranger fans probably have never heard about, and one of the great things about the book is that they're going to get to learn about them. People like Earl Ingerfield, Nick McCoskey, Don Marshall, Alf Pike, you mentioned the Patricks, Ott Heller, Ivan Ching Johnson. I mean, these are guys who played a long time ago, and most people today have never seen them play. So what we
Ching
try
Johnson,
to do...
I'm sorry. I mean, Ching Johnson, if I remember correctly, he also had a pretty long career as a referee after he played for the Rangers, didn't he?
I don't know if he was a referee for very long. He might have been a ref. There were a couple of players on our list who were referees for a little while after their retirement. But yeah, he's on the list, and there. I mean, every era of Ranger hockey is represented. We went back all the way to the very beginning, and that's one of the things I'm most proud of about this book is how we every era is covered.
Great. And okay, and just we want to make sure everybody knows that you can pre-order the book on www.rangergreats.com.
That's our website. Yeah, you can also order it on Amazon and Barnes and Noble and any of the other major retailers.
Okay. I also wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about what you think about the Rangers' moves so far this offseason.
Well, all right. So you want us to start with Marian Gabrick and go down? Who do you want to talk about?
You can go in any order you want. It's all right.
All right. So let's take Gabrick. I did distribute to the guys all the injuries he's had in his career. And I would say, Adam, no lie, what, about 50 lines?
It was a long list.
It's lengthy. And the two things that really stand out are the continuing groin injuries and the two hip operations. Now, he had the same hip operation and the same doctor that A-Rod had. So you look at that as a hockey player, and I remember when Pavel Bure joined the Rangers. Now, he had 8 knee operations, certainly a lot more racked up than Marian Gabrick, but at that time, Adam and I were covering the team, and he said something. He goes, you know, when a speed guy loses even just a half a step, you wonder how good they're going to be, and I have that wonder in my mind right now.
If he plays 78 games and scores 48 goals, it was a good signing for the Rangers, but if he plays 65 games and scores 23, it was an awful move. So it's a huge
gamble. They can get the same thing out of Zhardev for half the money.
Well, there you go.
Zhardev never produced to that level, but, you know, again, you'll never know because it doesn't seem like he's coming back. So,
right.
Well, if you're talking 65 games and 23 goals, you're talking about Zhardev's season last year.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, in that regard, yeah, but I mean, that's still even probably on the low end even for Zhardev. I think he could have done a little better than that.
Okay, so what about, did you like the trade of Gomez for Chris Higgins and Ryan McDonough?
I did like that a lot. I deal a lot with prospects. The two shows that I have an XM, one of them is a prospect show, and McDonough is a really great prospect. He's out of Minnesota. He won the Mr. Hockey Award. He's a really good puck-moving defenseman, smart kid, got a little size to him. He's playing in a good program right now. And Higgins has been on my radar for a long time because I'm originally a Long Islander, so I have interviewed Higgins many times over, and he's got a lot of speed. He's had some injury problems early on, but when he's been good and he's been on the power play, he's been very effective. So I thought, A, they lost a lot of salary, and B, they picked up some good talent. So I really liked it, and I think the one part of this that got overlooked was the Ryan McDonough part because he now becomes probably the second best Ranger defenseman as far as prospects goes, and that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I definitely say that was the most overlooked part of that trade. And plus, I mean, when you think about it, the Rangers dumped $5 million of salary in a, you know, a year when everyone is well aware that the salary cap is going down. And I think that only makes that trade a little bit better.
Right.
Gomez, it really disappointed me in the 2 years that he was in New York. I thought that with his speed and with his playmaking ability that he was going to be a really good addition. And plus, I mean, he was coming in the prime of his career, and he'd won, you know, a Stanley Cup in New Jersey. So really he had everything going for him, and he never clicked with any of the wingers. Not really. I mean, if he did click – Tom Rennie would break that trio up pretty quickly. because of the constant line shuffling. But it really was disappointing that he never found a winger, not Yager. It's a shame, and we'll see what he does in Montreal. He'll probably do better in Montreal because he's going to play with Gionta, and he played with Gionta in New Jersey, and that was a good combination.
Well, I also think that, you know, the Rangers have a very, very long long history of signing guys to contracts that are first line money, and, you know, putting them in roles that they do not flourish in. I think that, you know, Bobby Holík, if the Rangers would have used Bobby Holík as a second line center, I think his career would have been a lot better than, you know, pushing him on the first line. And I mean, let's be honest, Gomez is a first line center when he has first line talent around him, but when you use the money, you know, on Gomez for another center, you're not helping Scott Gomez, and they put him into a position where, you know, he can't fit. I mean, everyone gets mad at Drury. He might be making first line money, but Chris Drury was always a 50 to 60, 25 goal scorer. He always was. He's putting up exactly what I expected from him, just more expensive.
I think I agree with it to a degree, but, you know, Drury, I think, still has been a disappointment in his plus minus on the power play. There's many other ways he's coming up short, and I don't think Holík would have fit in on any line, to be honest. We were covering the team pretty heavily then, and I would say it didn't take long for all of us to realize he didn't fit in there, and it was never going to be a good fit. And finally, at the end, they sort of, like, just let him do whatever, and he was on the third line, and sure, he produced a little bit, but he just wasn't ever comfortable there.
You guys should do a show where the main topic of the program is failed Ranger signings of ex-Devils. You could start with Bruce Driver,
and then just
go down from there. John
McClain. Actually, I think we could start with Joe Sorella. would be the first on the list. I think that's where we start. Joe Sorella. And would Verbeek count in that list, even though
he didn't come straight
from the Devils?
No,
Verbeek doesn't count. His brief Ranger career was fantastic.
Yeah.
He scored 40 goals playing with Messier. No, I have no problem with Verbeek.
Okay, but McClain, Driver, Holík.
Yeah.
All failures. All right. Well, you guys want to take some calls before you guys have to go on?
Sure.
Okay. Let's go to, let's see, we have 516 area code. You're on Blue Shirt Panther with Jim and Joe and Adam and Russ. Who's this?
Hey, Jim, it's Dave, Blue Seat Blogs.
Hey, Dave. It's Dave from Blue Seat Blogs for anybody who doesn't know. How's it going tonight, Dave?
I finally got home from work, so I figured I'd call in for the last 15 minutes.
Great. So you have a question for the guys?
Yes, I do. I actually wanted to know what their take on and an honest opinion on Dan Girardi is.
Well, I can tell you I think Dan Girardi is a great player. I think free agent signing, you have to give the Rangers a lot of credit for finding him, and I think he's been pretty solid. Now, was he the Dan Girardi of 2 years ago? Probably not, but I think he still is a very effective guy, and I think he fills a big role on that team, and I think he's sort of unheralded because he doesn't have the big name and he's not flashy.
Because I was aiming more so for the fact that with the defensive depth we have in prospects, I feel like I'm the only one that actually wants to consider packaging him for a left wing or for a power play quarterback, something to that effect. Because right now we have, I mean, with McDonough, with Sanguinetti, with Delzato, I mean, there's a lot of depth, and Girardi is cheap, and I think he's expendable.
But there's not a lot of this year depth. Go ahead, Adam.
Well, that's exactly the point, Russ. The problem, you're right, Dave, long-term there is depth. But right now you don't have a lot of depth veteran-wise. I mean, Redden and Roosevelt are supposed to be your go-to guys, your veterans on defense, and they're not getting the job done. I'm pretty sure you probably agree with that. Girardi's a veteran now. I mean, you can call him a veteran, but he's young, and he's affordable. That makes him, I think, even more valuable to the Rangers for right now. It could come to, you know, in a year or two, Girardi could be a very important player for the Rangers. If the Rangers are somehow able to move Roosevelt or Redden, Girardi gets bumped up on that depth chart pretty high.
Yeah, I would also like to point out, coming quickly on Girardi, that he led the league in points for like the first, I don't know, 15 games of the season or so.
And then
he started playing with Redden, and his play just went down so significantly.
funny how that
it happened. It really was like he was on a roller coaster. I saw flashes of utter brilliance from him, and you know his contract ends next year, so it'll be interesting to see the kind of money he gets. But I mean, I saw things from him last year that I was very fond of.
He's a good positional. He's not an overly physical player. He's a defenseman who is a good positional defenseman. He makes smart moves. He moves the puck out of his zone effectively. We saw 2 years ago he's got some offensive skills. I'd like to see him bring more of that this coming season.
What do you guys make of Matt Gilroy, the prospect the Rangers have signed? They gave a pretty decent-sized contract, and everybody seems to have pretty high hopes for him. What's your take on Gilroy?
Well, my take on Gilroy is twofold. I did cover the final for the Frozen Four, and, yeah, he looked great in that. But we have to remember, you know, he's 24 years old. So he was old for college, so he should dominate to a degree. And he also dominated rookie camp, as we just heard. But, again, those are 18-, 19-year-old kids. He's 24. So we have to really take that with a grain of salt. His pro experience is nil. He's got to start off the year in Hartford. There's no way he's going to start off with the Rangers. And I would be surprised if he even hits the ice for the Rangers this year simply because he's never been a pro. And even though he's been playing in college, he doesn't have that kind of pedigree where he's all of a sudden going to be this guy that's going to jump from Boston University right onto the Garden ice. I don't think it's going to happen. He's got marginal offensive skills, I think, for the pros, but I think he may be a role player and he's got some toughness. But you got to give him at least a full year in the AHL, I believe.
Interesting. All right, Dave, we're going to let you go. We're going to take another couple of calls. As always, thanks for calling.
Sounds good. Thanks for doing the show.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks.
Okay, we got another 516 area code caller on the line. You're on Blue Shirt Panther Radio. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Who's this?
Well,
this is Forch.
This is my dad.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. I wanted to talk a little bit about, I guess, what I perceive as the biggest hole that the team's really had for a number of years. And I'm a little bit biased because, you know, I was a huge, huge Brian Leetch fan. I think the best Ranger by far that the organization's ever had, and I've been following the organization and sitting in season tickets in the Garden for 41 years. So I've seen a lot of guys come and go, and, you know, Leetch was to me, the best that the organization ever produced. But what I want to focus on a little bit, you know, you may not find a Leetch or you may not develop a Leetch, but the two holes that I see in the Rangers, and it's been so evident over the last bunch of years, we don't have a defenseman that can carry the puck through the neutral zone consistency, and we don't have a guy to quarterback the power play. And, you know, guys, let's face it, with all the firepower and all the stars we've had on this team, our power play has been abysmal.
Well, it's brutal.
Nope,
it's absolutely
no
brutal. And I hope that some of the prospects that are coming are going to solve the problems you're talking about. But right now on this team at this moment, no, you don't really have that. Not consistently.
No, you don't have it. I was going to say, you don't have it this moment, but what I can tell you is if you're asking me to pick between the three guys, Sanguinetti, McDonough, and Delzato, I think Delzato will be the power play quarterback guy who can move the puck through with ease and has that high IQ, and I think you'll see him in about a year or two, and I think he'll be that guy. He will fill that role, but right now, yeah, you don't have anybody.
And it's also possible, and he's showing glimpses as he becomes a little bit more confident. You don't know what you're going to get from Mark Stahl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at 19, he was the best defenseman on the Rangers. He might start to develop an offensive game, and if he does, I mean, he's never going to be the big-time puck-carrying power play quarterback that you're looking for, but he's going to be able to contribute in time as well.
Well, you know, I love Staal. I think that, you know, he's going to be an absolute, you know, A player in the league. You know, is he going to be that elite level? Don't know. You know, probably not. I mean, there aren't too many guys that get to the elite level, but, you know, I certainly think he's a solid, you know, B-plus, A-minus player, but, you know, you really need somebody. I mean, if you look at, you know, the frustration of watching the Rangers on the power play, you know, it didn't matter what unit was on the ice. Those guys couldn't even set up, couldn't even get the puck in the zone. You know, you'd be watching the power play, and, you know, they'd be, you know, 45 to a minute and a half into it, and they're just getting set up. You know, it's devastating to have to play when the other team knows that they can basically take liberties, and if they take a couple of extra penalties, so what?
Yeah.
I mean, it really impacts the game in so many ways that you know, it's hard to, you know, you remember when they won the Cup in 94. I mean, they were deadly on the power play.
Almost automatic. When they went on the power play in 94, in early 90s, when you had Leach and Zubov in the back, there was a feeling of confidence, like, it's going to happen. And it's gone 100% in the opposite direction.
But you're talking about three Hall of Famers on that power play and no Hall of Famers on the current power play. So that's maybe one. So that's a big difference. I think, look, they're paying Rosewall and Redden to do that job right now. And this year, that's what you're going to have to hope for.
I mean, Redden was certainly, when they signed him, you know, he was certainly looked at as somebody that could potentially do that because he had done it in the past. And, you know, he was better in the playoffs, but he had an abysmal season. I mean, just an abysmal season. You know, and the other thing the team just does not have, and, you know, we'll see, you know, if Gaborik can you know, do it for us, and he's certainly done well when he's played against us. You know, but they need a go-to guy. And, you know, with all the quote-unquote firepower, you know, it just didn't happen. And I'm looking for a much, much better year next year from Dubinsky. I really felt 2 years ago that this kid had all the tools.
Yeah, Dubinsky I like a lot. I think there's a bright future there. They certainly need to lock him up long term, and I know that the negotiations are still going on. Hopefully that'll happen. At least he'll get a multi-year deal. I think you'll get more offense out of him this year. But, you know, as far as locker room leadership, I get to see a little bit more of that than, let's say, the average Ranger fan. And he is actually a very good leader in the locker room and a lot of times will deflect the media when other guys don't feel like talking. So he's a very valuable guy for that team.
A player who I think will contribute more offense this year, at least I certainly hope he will, and I think if he can convert on some more of the chances that he's getting, and that's Ryan Callahan. He's a player I'm very high on, and this is a guy who doesn't do anything wrong, doesn't take dumb penalties. He's a great penalty killer, always moving his feet, aggressive, he's a smart player. He's not overly gifted offensively. Any of the chances he gets, he makes for himself. But I think 30 goals is very doable for him. With another year of NHL hockey under his belt, I think 30 is possible. Long term, I don't think 40 is out of the question. Let's get to 30 first. But I think you're going to get more offense from him this coming season as well.
Forge, we thank you for calling in. We're going to take a couple of more real quick phone calls before we got to let these guys go. Let's see. I think we have 203 area code. You're on the air, Blue Shirt Banter. Who's this? Hello? All right. Nobody there. We got one more then. All right. There we go. 718 area code. You're on Blue Shirt Banter Radio with Jim and Joe and Adam and Russ. Who's this?
This is Stan.
Stan from Bayside. How are you, Stan?
Great. I see you got a mention at the top of your show.
I figured if I mentioned you at the top of the show, and if you were listening, I really wanted you to call in when these guys were here, because I figured if we were going to be talking about Ranger greats, you know, you're definitely one of our more experienced callers, so I figured this would be right up your alley. Anyway, so how are you tonight? You're on with Adam and Russ.
I'm doing well. Doing well. Yeah, I go back to the I guess the days of Jockerman and the Gag Line. That's when I really started watching a lot. So pretty much everyone from then on I know about. Even though I am surprised sometimes I watch those on the MSG, the Vault, where they show the old Ranger mm-hmm. games. And sometimes I see guys I completely forgot were on the team, like from 30 years ago and stuff.
That's what's great about those shows is that it brings back a lot of great memories.
Yeah, I had no recollection that Dallas Smith and Don Ory used to play for the Rangers.
Yeah.
I completely forgot that they were on the team.
That's fun. And actually, Stan, my wife went to Cardoza High, so there you go.
That's where my son went. Yeah.
Nice. So, Stan, did you have any questions for the guys you want to ask? You're going to be our last caller for them. Then we're gonna let them go, and then we'll talk about some other stuff before we wrap up the show.
So I just want to make a comment. I don't know who it was. They talked about the Gilroy.
Mm-hmm. That was me.
I definitely think the Rangers are counting on him to be one of their top six guys this year. I don't think he was given that contract to go to the minors.
I just don't see how you're going to do it. I know he's 25, but...
It's that something that Russ and I don't quite agree on. They made a big deal out of his signing. I think that they brought him in with the intention of having him be one of the top six, Stan. But I think I live in West Hartford, Connecticut. Deep down, I'm expecting to see him here in Hartford.
I have to disagree with you fully, because when you think about it, he was very highly touted. And, you know, I have my Quinnipiac Bobcats that I watch in the NCAA, and, you know, I watched him play, and he's a very good player. But I think more so when it comes to him playing in Hartford, he signed a one-way contract. If they start him in Hartford, he has to go through re-entry waivers to come back to the Rangers, where any team can grab him at half price. He'd never make it back to the team, not even close. So there was no way, in my mind, they gave him $3.5 million to sit in Hartford for a year. I mean, they're paying him $175 a year. He's got to start in the NHL, or else he has to go through waivers.
Well,
and,
let me just quickly remind you that I do see your point, but let me just remind you that this is the same team that traded Dawes and Pruka for Derek Morris, and there is no guarantee that Morris is even going to come back.
Yeah, it is true, but, God, I just like to think that they're better than that.
I would as well.
Joe, we could keep hoping, can't we?
Yeah, we can definitely keep hoping.
Well, we'll know in a few months, that's for sure.
That's true.
We have to see how it works out.
All right, Stan, we thank you, as always, for calling in.
Okay.
And we'll
thank
talk you, to you next week.
Okay, very good.
And before we let these guys go, Adam, Russ, I want to thank you guys very much for joining us tonight. You guys were great. We appreciate you sharing some stories with us and talking to us about the Rangers. And we wish you all the luck in the world on the book. Again, it's called 100 Ranger Greats. I'm reading this off their site, a richly illustrated history and fascinating and entertaining look at a cast of colorful characters. I can't wait to get it myself, because this is I love the history of this team, and I'm really looking forward to reading it. And is there anything else you guys want to talk about before you go? If there's something I forgot to mention, maybe, or
no, I'm good. You can go to Amazon, or you can go to Chapters, or you can go to Borders, or any of those places and pre-purchase it.
Great. All right, guys, thank you so much. I appreciate
thank you,
it.
Yeah.
And,
thank you very
and,
much.
Oh, thank you
and,
for having us. Really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. And let me just, before you guys go, good luck with the mouse tomorrow night on RangerCrisis.com.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Have a great night. Thanks again.
Bye, guys. Thank
okay,
you again.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, again, that was Adam and Russ. They joined us. That was great. That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed having them on. So, well, Joe, at the moment, it looks like it's just me and you again. Back to
I
me
like
and you.
I like it that way. It's cool.
Oh, of course. Of course. I can't wait to get that book. I love reading about Ranger history and some of the guys that maybe, you know, nobody knows, a lot of forgotten guys and things like that. So I think that's going to be really interesting. So, all right. So we got a half an hour to go in the show. We've got some open phone lines. If anybody wants to call in, the number to call in is 646-478-4692. Joe, are you checking in on the chat room? It's out of control tonight.
I'm actually not looking in on the chat room because for whatever reason I can't hear the show from my computer, so it upsets me, so I don't even go on that website.
Oh, okay. The mouth is in there. We've got a couple of new people in there. B4MV01 is in there. And it's funny, I didn't see the whole conversation, but so they are on the subject right now of Stan Fischler. And we had a little conversation about Stan Fischler today, and I want to share it with everybody because I think you guys will get a kick out of it. I don't know if you guys read Stan Fischler's blog, whatever you want to call it, his ramblings, his whatever it is, or the article that somebody writes for him and slaps his face on, whatever it is. But he talked a little bit about Tortorella, which I thought was okay. And then he started mentioning Hobby Bullen. And the first thing he said was that Hobby Bullen came into his own under Tortorella and got the nickname the Bullen Wall when he played in Tampa. And I'm here to tell you, Ranger fans, that's completely untrue. Hobby Bullen came into his own when he was with the Coyotes, and that's where he got the nickname. And I know this because I lived there for 7 years, and I used to go to a lot of Coyote games. So Stan was completely off base on that one. Then Stan talks about how he was there interviewing Chris Kreider right after the Rangers drafted him. And as you guys know, I was at the draft, and Stan Fischler was nowhere to be found. And then Stan Fischler, in his blog article, whatever the hell it is, mentions how he goes on to talk about Chris Kreider, and he quotes an interview that he did with the Boston Globe. And I'm thinking, well, Stan, if you were there at the draft, supposedly, and interviewed Kreider right after the Rangers picked him, why don't you have your own quotes? Why do you have to go to the Boston Globe to get your quotes? So I just thought it was kind of funny, and I thought the guys in the chat room would get a kick out of that. That's for them because they're still rambling on about Stan Fischler. So let's see, we got anybody on the phones? Nobody's on the phone lines. You guys want to call in? Phone number 646-478-4692. We got about 25 minutes to go. We'll take a couple of calls, whatever you guys want to do. And I'm just laughing at some of the comments in the chat room. Sorry. But let's see. The Rangers made a couple other moves. We didn't really talk about the Callahan signing other than Joe almost correctly predicting it. Joe, you want to chime in on Callahan?
You know, I mean, you and I have had this fight a couple of times. I guess I will continue it here. I wish that Glenn Taylor would sign younger guys to more than just 2 years contracts. You know, I'd love to see Callahan put 30 to 35 in the net the next couple of years. But then, I mean, you look at his contract and suddenly that $2.5 million that you could have had for a third year is going to be, you know, $4 or $5 million. And then all of a sudden, you know, cap comes into problem. Like the fact that he only signed Higgins to a 1 year deal upsets me a little bit. But overall, I like the signing. You know, you can't be upset that Callahan's back in blue. And, you know, Ryan, the other writer on our site, one of the other two actually, made a great point, which is that Ryan Callahan scores most of his goals because of, you know, not really because of pure offensive skill, but because of hustle and a good hockey IQ, which is good in its own respect because the goals should stay there. But, you know, he could be a very up-and-down player. So, you know, from the negative side of things, maybe 2 years is good. You never know. But with Higgins, you know, I thought he deserved at least two or three more years. But I'm not the GM. None of us are, unless Glenn Sade is out there listening. And if you are, please call in. Otherwise, you know, I mean, we'll see what happens. But overall, I think that, you know, the Ranger faithful are waiting with bated breath for Doobie. And once he comes down the pipe, you know, Zhirinov is going to be old news.
Well, I'm going to say two things real quick, and then we're going to take a call. If Glenn Sade is listening, yes. A, please call in, and B, please put us on the media release list. And the other thing is, Callahan, I don't have a problem with him signing a two-year deal, and I think from his perspective, I think it's the smart thing to do because I think in 2 years he's going to cash in big time. What it boiled down to was he was able to capitalize on the fact that the Rangers didn't want to give him a long-term, big-money deal because they've got too much contract on the books. So I think they're hoping in 2 years things will improve and they'll be able to pay Callahan a little more money. And I think it's the best thing for Callahan, and hopefully it'll work out for Higgins as well, signing those short-term deals. And when the contract's up, I think they'll really cash in. Let's take a phone call. 848 area code. You're on Blue Shirt Banter Radio with Jim and Joe. Who's this?
Hey, it's B4MV01. What's going on?
Scott, right?
Yeah. Make the
Scott, how are you?
Pretty good. All right.
What's going on tonight?
Nothing much, man. Turn 22 tomorrow, so I'm just getting ready for the party.
Happy birthday. Beautiful thing. So what's on your mind?
Nothing. I was just, that whole Stan Fisher thing, I was like, I had to call in on it, man. I hate that guy so much.
What do you got against Stan?
The way he talks about it, he's like the all-knowing god of hockey, but it's just, he really doesn't know jack. Anyone can pick up the stuff he does. You know, Wikipedia knows, you read Wikipedia article and he just like copy and paste it into his articles. Or
you know,
his personal writer writes it for him.
I think at this point, I don't think Stan's writing a whole lot of his material, and I think somebody writes the articles for him. Stan shows up at the MSG studios. They splash on the pancake makeup, try and make Stan look, you know, 30 or 40 years younger. And they pop him up on TV, and they ask him a couple of softball questions. He sits there and says, Lundqvist is great, Martin Brodeur is great, and then they go to commercial.
Andrew Olsen.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, Scott, I appreciate you calling it. We're going to take a couple other phone calls before we have to get out of here tonight.
All right, see you guys later.
Thanks, man.
Bye, Scott.
All right, I think we have a repeat caller here. Guess who's calling in again?
Who?
We got 727 area code. You're on Blue Shirt Banda Radio with Jim and Joe. Who's this?
What's up, guys? This is Paulie D, man. What's going on?
Paulie D, how are you, sir?
Not too bad, man. I just got to tell you, I love the show, man. Anytime we can talk Rangers hockey, I'm in my glory. But, you know, getting back to Stan Fischler, my biggest thing with the Maven is he was so far, when the Sports Channel was around, he was so far up the Islanders, you know what. And, you know, he knew everything about the Islanders, and then when they went to crap and we took him over to MSG, now he's the biggest Ranger fan in all the world.
Right. No, you're absolutely right about that.
My biggest problem with Stan Fischler is that I don't know what team he roots for. You know, he covers all three, and, you know, he covers it with Duguay, so you're aware that Duguay is a Ranger fan because he was a Ranger.
Absolutely.
And then, I don't know, the Islander defenseman, Gordon is his last name? There's an Islanders defenseman that works with him.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
He's obviously an Islanders fan. But I got to be honest with you, I can't tell what Stan Fischler is. And actually, when they take questions, someone asked him, which team do you have an allegiance to? And he said all three, and that's just a load of crap. So, I just want him to come out clean and, you know, tell us who he is and who he isn't, just so I know.
Well, you know, when the Islanders were winning all their cups, I mean, I don't know, most of you guys, I'm sure, were Rangers fans at the time, and they had Sports Channel, and, you know, he was, you know, the Islanders were the greatest thing that touched the face of the earth. And then, you know, once again, the Islanders, they couldn't Sports Channel. And they get dumped, and for some god-awful reason, and I want to know, so please, whoever's in charge of MSG, let me know why you would pick up the Islanders. I mean, do we really need their money? We don't need their money. Let them go find Fox or someone else to pick their sorry asses up. I'm sorry, but I hate the fact that the Islanders are on MSG. That drives me nuts.
I want to know how the Ranger fans feel. I hate the fact that the Devils are on MSG more.
Really?
We'll have to debate this another night. It's okay. It's okay. As we get a little further, a little deeper into July and early August, and things start slowing down, this might make a good debate one night. But
I did want to throw one other thing at you, man.
Let me finish my sentence. What I was going to say was I am much more of a Devil hater than I am an Islander hater. I grew up around a lot of Islander fans, and I took, even though I grew up in Jersey, but there were a lot of Islander fans around because they were good, and, you know, they were winning all those cups, so everybody was an Islander fan. And I took a lot of crap from them. And then, you know, eventually I had my moment, but it, you know, it was 1 year. But anyway, to me, the Islanders, there's such a great rivalry there between the Islanders and Rangers and the fans. And I don't know how old you are, Paulie, but I remember in 79 when they had that, when they were in the semifinals again, that was such a great time for hockey. I mean, the city, the whole area was just, it was all about the Rangers and Islanders. Just it was a war, that series, and it just made for great rivalry. The Devils, in my opinion, I don't know, they're just Ranger fans who couldn't get tickets. I've always said that about the Devils, and we're within a short and curly of moving it to Nashville. You know, I mean, the Stanley Cup champions almost relocated in the off season that year. They're my biggest, they're number one on my hate list. The Islanders I can live with, at least for now. We'll see what happens when they get good again.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that, Jim, because I grew up total opposite. I grew up on Long Island with all the Islander fans, and I feel the other way. I've always been a Ranger fan, and the lesser of the two is the Devils for me. I mean, I don't hate the Devils as much as I hate the Islanders. So I know what you're saying, because I was on the opposite side. You grew up in New Jersey, so you wound up hating the Devils more. I grew up on Long Island, I wound up hating the Islanders more. So there's got to be something there.
All right, since let's have a little fun with this. Since we've gotten completely off topic, now that we've got Adam and Russ, we got our interview out of the way, and those guys were great, and now we're just kind of free-flowing, as they say, through the last 25 minutes or so. And since we've got Paulie on the line hating on the Islanders, let's bring back, since he's calling in again, one of the other biggest Islander haters that I know. Let's welcome back the Mouth. Are you there?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Glad to be back. Thanks for having me again. I just want to... let me get the Stan Fischler business out. I'll get it out real quick.
Hang on, real quick. So I guess we're getting Joe and I are getting a little cocky here now. This is the second time. For the first time tonight, we had two callers on the line when we had Adam and Russ with us, and then we took a call, and that was the first time we had five. There were five of us on the line at one time. It was me, Joe, a caller, Adam, and Russ. So now we're just going to, well, what the hell, we're just going to have one big conference call. We'll throw the Mouth in here, and we'll let him talk about, we'll let the Mouth tell his Fischler story, and then you guys can, we'll talk a little bit about the Islanders, and then I got a couple other callers that we'll take before we're done. But anyway, go ahead with your Stan Fischler story.
I met Stan over the summer, and this is actually truth. This isn't one of my Mouth fiction stories. I met him at the NHL store in the city at the XM show that Duque and Danico were doing. He was dressed like Austin Powers, and I'm not kidding you. The guy was like...
In a Nehru jacket?
Yeah, he was like in some kind of retro getup. I almost cracked up when I saw him, when I saw Fish Face. And he went into the studio, and I got a chance to talk to a Devil guy who was the PR guy from the Devils from like 83 to 92 or something. So he had known Stan since the get-go. And he told me that Stan was the most arrogant SOB that ever came down the pike. He was impossible to talk to. He was Mr. Devil. He knew more than everything. But the sad part of it is that Stan's son got cancer. And when that happened, Stan kind of softened a bit. As a matter of fact, the guy, the way he quoted it, this will show you how much of a hard guy Stan was to get along with, it humanized Stan. So you can imagine what he was before then. So I think, you know, I cut the guy some slack. They may have just given this guy the job out of just, you know, maybe to pick his spirits up or something. Because, like you said, all he says is Lundqvist is good, Brodeur is good. You know, I don't want to defend Stan Fishface. Trust me, I loathe the guy. But he got on his bicycle like the Wicked Witch of the West, and he took off wearing this Austin
Paris garb, and I'm fumbling for the video. I got to get video of this. And meanwhile, Chris Kostopoulos is like, you know, he say, oh, Stan, you know, even Kostopoulos, former Ranger Chris Kostopoulos, has had some run-ins with Stan, printing things that just don't exist. And you guys, that's a great pickup, Jim, with him, with Jimmy, you know, the Boolean Wall, and he met with Grada and all this stuff. So that's my Stan Fishless story. As far as hating the Islanders, let me tell you, I'm 44 years young. I suffer.
You don't look a day over 43.
Thank you. A lot of people say that.
Anytime.
I suffered on Long Island. I grew up in Long Island like the previous caller. Every year of high school, the Islanders won the Stanley Cup. And I wore my Ranger hat proudly every day to school, and I got multiplied by Islander fans, but I stood up to them. And it made me a tougher individual. And when I won in 1994, when they won, I went to that parade. It was the greatest day of my life. And I hope we get another one soon, because I want everybody to feel that jubilation, that all that 1940 garbage went down the drain. And those idiots are still saying 1940. They can't even get any new lines. So that's it. Fisher, the Islanders, I'm done. Thanks.
Now, before I let you go, today is a prominent date in Ranger history. Do you know what today is the anniversary of?
Mike Keenan leaving the Rangers and signing with Vancouver. Is that where he went?
St. Louis.
Oh, St. Louis. Is that correct?
You are correct. You are sharp as a spoon, my friend.
Yes. After promising, I'm still going to be the Ranger coach. I have that on tape too. So, you know what you can take when these guys start to speak. But God bless you guys. You're doing a great job, and thanks for letting me join in a Royal Rumble.
Anytime, Mal. Take it easy. We'll catch you tomorrow night.
Okay. Take.
Bye, Mal.
Oh my God!
Mike Keenan promising that he was going to be the Rangers coach, and then I can remember standing in front of City Hall at the Rangers parade, chanting four more years with all the Ranger fans, because you know the rumors were rampant at that point that Keenan was leaving for, everybody thought Detroit, but as it turned out, he wound up going to St. Louis, and the fans were chanting. We were all chanting four more years, trying to convince him to stay, but a couple weeks later, he was gone. But anyway.
Jim, matter of fact, wasn't it during the year, during the playoffs, when the rumors actually started and a lot of stuff started?
Yeah, it's in between. It was in between
the teams. Go ahead.
Right. It was in the Devil series that the word came out that he was talking about leaving for Detroit. I believe it was after game. I want to say it was after game five of the Devil series. The word to which the Rangers lost, I think 4-1 or something like that. They got beat bad in game five. They played a horrible game, and that was when the word came out that he was looking to go to Detroit. And, you know, there was a lot of distraction about that. And then, you know, Messier, you know, we will win, and the rest is Ranger history. I brought another caller on the line because I can. We got the 203 area code. Is this Larry again? 203
Hello.
Area code. You're on Blue Shirt Banter Radio. Who's this?
Oh. Okay. A couple of blank callers today.
Nobody there. All right.
Well, what I will say from what you were saying is that I remember – well, I don't really remember because I was six, but actually Mike Keenan had to take an interview in between games five and six of the Stanley Cup Finals. He had to call a press conference to tell everyone that he was not leaving the team, that he was not going to the Red Wings.
Exactly. Yeah, I remember that distinctively. I am the New
Well, he didn't lie. He didn't lie.
He didn't lie. It's true.
he didn't lie. All right, let's... Paulie, anything else on your mind? I'm going to take another call real quick, and then we
got
to wrap it up.
Jim, we got totally backtracked. I wanted to jump in a little bit on the Ryan Callahan thing. I think, you know, first of all, signing him, I mean, obviously, the kid brings so much energy to the team. And, you know, exactly, he's not a natural, pure goal scorer, but but the kid is so willing to pay the price in all the dirtiest spots. And as I think Dubinsky is too. And I know somebody elaborated on his leadership. And I tell you what, as a Ranger fan, I really see Dubinsky as a very young Messier. I mean, you got to remember, Dubinsky's a young kid too. He's strong. He's physical. He's got a nasty side to him. And I'll tell you what, the kid's going to put the puck in the net. And then these two kids, I really hope for a long, long period of time, you know, just are forever Rangers. But I just wanted to add that.
Great. I agree. I think Callahan's going to be a somewhere between a 30 and 40 goal scorer. I really do believe that, and I also think that someday he wears the C. But, Paulie, we're going to let you go. I'm going to take a couple other quick phone calls. We're down to only a couple of minutes. I thank you for calling, and call back again next week. We'll be on again doing this 7:30 next Wednesday night, just like always. And now we are going to go to – we got 631 area code. You are on Blue Shirt Banter with Jim and Joe. Who's this?
Hey, how's it going? This is Brian.
Hey, Brian.
I was just wondering what I thought about Blair Betts. I don't know if you guys really talked about him that much yet, but I mean, I don't really see his name come much on the blog. Do you think he should come back, or what do you guys think about Blair Betts?
I think that at the end of the day, you know, you want him back for his penalty killing prowess, and you know, the fact that he is one of the hardest working guys in hockey. But at the same time, I think that Glenn Seder has made it evidently clear that his, you know, his position has been filled. You know, maybe there's something in the works. I mean, there were rumors early on that he was going to leave for more playing time. He was going to go to Edmonton. He loved playing for Tom Rennie. So, I mean, we'll see. But I think his time is done. I wish it weren't. But I don't foresee him back in Ranger Blue next year.
You know, as much as I'd like to see Betts come back, the guy's just he's a warrior. I mean, he is one of the toughest SOBs that I've ever seen. I mean, he is just incredible the way he throws his body around the ice. But at this point, you know, as much as I'd love to see him back, where does he fit in? The Rangers
are really
just, you know, piling forward after forward after forward, and you know, they've gotten a couple of centers like Boyle and Arneson, and those guys are no better than fourth line centers, and you can only have so many fourth line centers, you know. So I just don't see where Betts fits in unless the Rangers have a trade brewing, and then maybe they find a need for him, but I have a feeling that might not happen.
Yeah, I just think his time is done.
Yeah, I thought after when season ended last year, I thought either him or Shishim had to come back. I mean, those are big kill.
They and you know, when you think about it, what is the main positive that you look at last year? And that's the penalty kill, and at least half of that roster is gone.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, we're gonna have to let you go. I thank you for calling. We're gonna try to get one more call in real quick. And call us again next week when we have a little more time. 203 area code. We're going to try one more time. Are you there? Hello?
Man, that's strike three.
Yeah, that's the third time. And I think that's Larry. I think that's the same number, the gentleman that called us at the top of the show. I don't know if he's trying to get through again or whatever, but Larry, give us a call next week, and we'll put you on again. Cause I just got the 90-second warning in my ear, so we are done, just about done for the night. I want to thank all you guys for listening and calling in, and thanks to our guests Adam and Russ. And make sure you check out their website, rangergreats.com. You can pre-order their book 100 Ranger Greats at Amazon, and I believe Wiley.com and probably some other online retailers. Easy for me to say. So I don't know. Let's see. Who else do we want to plug tonight? Don't forget, make sure you check out Dave over at Blue Seat Blogs. He does a great job. He's a member of our site, rangercrisis.com. Tomorrow night he's going to have on the same guys we just had on, and I'm sure it'll be a little bit of a different interview because nobody does things like the mouth does things. Also, don't forget to check out Jets over at the Prospect Park. He's our resident expert on Ranger prospects. And I'm trying to think, there was one other that I wanted to mention. Matt, don't forget the Manic Ranger, Ryan McFadden from our site. And again, thank you guys. I appreciate all the hard work everybody's doing on the site, www.blueshirtbanter.com. And we will be back next Wednesday night, 7:30. Joseph, always a pleasure. 10 seconds to go. Wrap it up.
I just want to say thank you to everyone as well. Great show. We're getting more and more callers by the day. And thank you all, and I hope to see you all next week. Same time, different day, 7:30 every Wednesday.
All right, everybody. We're out of here. Good night.
Good night, everyone.